Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. This is the podcast dedicated to people who want to speak more as a way to build their income and grow their business.
Well, welcome everyone to our Wealthy Speaker Quarterly Teleclass Series. My name is Jane Atkinson. I'm the author of The Wealthy Speaker, and I'm your host. And today's topic is copywriting that sells with our special guest expert, Steve Slomwise. Steve, thank you so much for being with us here today. I'm going to do a quick little intro of you.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
Let me just do your formal intro here. Steve Slomwise is a popular marketing coach, best-selling author, and workshop leader. His many books include The Everything Guide to Writing Copy and Fast Track to Great Clients. His latest book, The Wealthy Freelancer, won a 2010 Best Small Business Book Award, woohoo! And Steve helps business owners break through to more clients and higher sales, and I think that's probably what I'll speak for everybody on the line and say that's what we all want. So thank you so much for taking your time out of your busy day to be with us here today, Steve.
Well, thank you, Jane. I didn't put the ooh-ooh in my bio, but I might add that in now, so just fit it nicely.
I like to do my own little sound effects. I'm glad you enjoyed that. Okay, so we have a group of professional speakers on the line. I know that you have familiarity with the speaking industry and that you're involved in the Speakers Association in Toronto. Mm-hmm. So based on that involvement that you've had, what do you think that most professional speakers do wrong when it comes to copywriting?
Well, I knew you were going to ask that question, and I tried to narrow it down to one thing, and I couldn't. So I have three things. So bear with me. Probably the first mistake that I see when I look at, you know, speaker one sheets and speaker websites and emails from speakers and other marketing and sales communications like that. The number one mistake I see is not providing enough information to get the prospect to do what you want them to do.
Okay.
Because the number one rule in copywriting is very simple, is decide what you want your prospect to do, and then give them the information they need to do it. Whether that's in an email, whether that's on a web page, whether that's on a one sheet or any other kind of marketing piece that you have. In my workshops, I often use the example of a speaker who I happen to know, so I'm able to give me permission to use this example kind of against him, where he has a DVD that's a 35-minute DVD that he sells for $125. It's 35 minutes long. And to sell it on his site, he only has a short paragraph and maybe two or three bullet points.
Wow.
And that's it. And there's, in my opinion, even if you know this speaker very well and he's well known to you and you like him and you trust him and you just know his stuff's going to be good, still that's not enough information to convince you to push the buy now button, pull out your credit card, and pay $125 for a 35-minute DVD. I mean,
right.
You can buy a Lord of the Rings set, complete set of all the DVDs, an 11-hour movie, for like $49 now. So you know, there needs to be more copy there to explain the value, perhaps a testimonial. What information does the prospect need to make that buying decision? Okay. So
okay.
That's the number one mistake I see, not providing enough information to get the prospect to do what you want them to do.
Okay.
And it's not always making a buying decision right there. Sometimes the decision simply is to call you or email you or download something or sign up for something or remember you or become aware of you. Whatever the goal is, you want to make sure you provide the information that the prospect needs to do that.
Good.
The second thing I see is not making the information easy to find. What happens, even when you're sending out information, even when you're sending out an email or sending out a one sheet or a letter or something like that, and especially on websites and whatnot, a lot of prospects, because everybody's so busy these days, they'll look for information. They'll scan your piece to look for specific information. Prospects will go to your website, for example, with something in mind. They're looking for a time management speaker. They want to look to see what topics you have, and they're trying to click around your website to try to find that information. And if the information is is difficult to find, or when they eventually get to that page, if they can't scan it and get the gist of the information quickly, then you may lose an opportunity as a result, simply because people are so busy. So, you know, make the information easily scannable, easy to find, and that includes not just the way your website is organized, but also the way the copy is organized. Subheads, bolds, short paragraphs, never long paragraphs. Make your copy scannable and easy to review and get the gist of it at a glance. That's very important these days. And the final thing I see of speakers, things that speakers do wrong with their marketing copy, is not writing in a authentic, friendly, conversational voice. And I can break this down into two things that I see. One thing I see speakers doing is writing in a very formal, stiff, business-like or academic kind of voice, like they're writing a research paper for their second year, you know, college class or something like that, right? Very stiff and formal, business-like, really doesn't work very well, because that's just not the way we talk to clients and talk to customers. It's not our voice. The best voice you can use in your copywriting is your own voice, a voice that is professional but conversational. Write the way you talk. Even when you're writing in the third person and in situations where you're writing a one sheet or parts of your website, sometimes you've got to write in a third person. Even then, make sure your voice is very friendly and human, and it sounds like it's coming from one person.
Gotcha.
Go ahead, Jane.
So is there a time, like let's say your background is, you know, nuclear physicist, and you're going out speaking on that topic. Is that kind of a different level of formality? I mean, would your level of formality be based on who your target market is?
Well, the language that you use depends on your target market. And the analogy I like to use is that let's say you're a nuclear physicist, okay, and your target market is nuclear physicists. If you were at a nuclear physicist conference, and you were speaking to a colleague in the hallway of that conference about one of the topics that was on the agenda that day, what kind of conversation would you have in the hallway? You'd probably use some sophisticated vocabulary. You certainly would. But still, your conversation would be, although professional, also conversational and friendly, wouldn't it? Stiff and academic. You wouldn't talk like that in the hallway to a colleague.
Right.
Neither would you talk like you're at a barbecue on a Saturday afternoon and just hanging out. You wouldn't be that casual either. But if you're at a business conference having a business discussion in the hallway with your target audience, how would you speak? How would you communicate? What would you say? That tone and style should be emulated in your marketing copy. Am I making sense there?
Yeah, and I want to point out, one of the things that we're going to offer at the end of this call is that people go to your website and sign up for your tips. So let's have them go to stevesloanwhite.com. It's Steve, S-T-E-V-E, Slaunwhite, S-L-A-U-N-W-H-I-T-e.com. And look at the homepage copy that Steve has. It's very conversational. It's very warm and friendly. Now, a lot of times people will say, should I speak in the first person or in the third person on the homepage of my copy? If you're a professional speaker presenting, how would you recommend that most people would position?
If you are a professional speaker, people want to hear your voice somewhere on the homepage. Now, sometimes it's okay to have, you know, some text on the homepage being in the third person, and perhaps a video from you or a personal quote or message from you, but they want to hear you. They want to hear your voice.
Okay.
So the best place for that is in the text on the homepage. But sometimes you can get away. Like, there might be some good reasons why it needs to be in third person, because maybe you're a larger speaking firm. You're part of a larger consulting firm, for example, and you perhaps need some third-person copy there because you're talking about the team, not specifically about you. But even then, somewhere on the homepage, have a video, have a longish quote or a personal message or something where people are hearing from you personally.
So let's just talk about that, because I think between the two of us, you know, with me with 20 years in the speaking business and you as the copywriting expert, I think we can help people really put together a solid homepage. I think you nailed it by saying, you know, a little video there. If people are going to hire you to speak, they want to see that little clip of you right up front on the homepage, and a lot of people do hire based on that. But what I really try to stress, Steve, and tell me if this is, I hope it's not off the mark, is that they're talking about the results of their work first before they're talking about themselves. What do you think about that?
Yeah, it's in copywriting, we sometimes refer to you-focus copy as opposed to we-focus copy.
Oh, I like that.
In other words, focus, you know, focus more on talking about the prospect or your potential client or customer and what they want and how your services benefit them. Talk about what they want to achieve first, then talk about yourself and your solutions and your speaking topics and things of that nature. That always works better. In fact, a neat trick you can do to kind of check and see if your copy is you focus is actually go through it and count the you words in your copy. You know, using you and your, and then
your
count
team,
the me words, me, us, our product name, that kind of stuff. And your you words should far outnumber your we words.
I like that.
And if
so
it doesn't,
everybody is going to put that on their to-do list is go and look through. You don't need to do it this second because we want you to concentrate on what's happening here. But I think that's a really big one for your to-do list is to go back through and just assess it. And I bet you I already have a major, major, because not enough info is a huge one for me. The first tip you gave right out of the chute, I thought, oh, geez, that's me. I'm a sparse writer, Steve. Like, I get to the point. But I bet you I'm leaving out valuable information that people might need in order to make a decision. So you have me going through everything now to review it all for that.
Yeah, that's probably one of the easiest ways to improve your copy and therefore improve the results you're getting from your copy, getting more clicks, getting more sign-ups, getting more info product sales, whatever the case may be, is to go through your copy and look for, put yourself in the shoes of the prospect and say, what do I need to know before I'm going to commit to filling out a form and downloading this person's one sheet, because I know I'm going to be caught up in their sales funnel. They're going to contact me, so there's a price to pay. What do I need to know to make that decision? What do I need to know to sign up for someone's $400 self study course, you know, or whatever the case may be? What do I need to know, and then make sure that information's there.
That's good. Okay, so just reviewing on the home page. We've got video, and this is kind of below the navigation bar, so everybody knows we're talking video, you-focused copy that includes the information that they're going to need to know to get to the next stage that you want them to go to, testimonials perhaps from your clients, but also, you know, I really encourage people to quote themselves, and that gives that flavor that you were talking about earlier, being able to get to know you.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's sometimes a good idea if you have to write in the third person for some reason, is to have a quote from you.
Yeah.
Because that's a great way to get you into the copy. And you mentioned testimonials. There's a lot of different ways you can use testimonials. The most common ways is to put testimonials in the sidebar of your site next to the copy, or have a separate page of testimonials. That's all fine. But one technique I find really works well and can make copy really powerful and convincing is to integrate the testimonials within your body copy.
Mm, nice.
So if you're writing about your time management keynote program for conferences, and you're describing that, if you can work in a testimonial right into the copy, of someone saying nice things about your keynote, that makes that copy much more convincing, even though you also have testimonials elsewhere.
Right, right. So you make a claim, and then someone else is backing you up on that claim to say, yes, this is true.
Yeah, you are going to love this time management keynote. In fact, John Smith of ABC Association says, blah, 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 you know, that kind of thing. So whenever you get an opportunity to work one of your testimonials into the actual body copy, the more, you know, the more effective your body copy will be. And you can still place the exact same testimonials elsewhere on your site.
So one of the things that I'm always teaching my clients to do is get not just good speaker testimonials, so that you were great at our conference, we loved you, but also ROI testimonials that really drive home the return on investment that they receive from you. And a great way to get those from your clients is to ask the question, what changed as a result of our work together? And so if they're telling you on the phone, well, you know, the morale was really high in our office afterwards and the communication was amped up and this and that and the other thing, you'd say to them on the phone, oh, that's a great testimonial. Could I quote you on that? You write it to them in two lines and then they reply and say, yes, that's good. So now you have your two-line testimonial that is an ROI-based testimonial as well as the one that say, you're a good speaker.
Now, so that's an excellent tip. There's another tip I can share with you along those lines, if you like.
Yes.
If you have, you're having that same conversation with a client or customer, and let's say they say something that's a little wishy-washy. They say, "Yeah, we've gotten some pretty good results from your workshop here a couple months ago. People are fairly happy with it, you know." And they're kind of vague about it. It's very
mm-hmm.
difficult to craft a testimonial from that.
Yes.
So if you start a sentence with, would it be safe to say? So you can say something like, would it be safe to say that your customer service has improved by 15%, you know, since the workshop? You know, and just throw something out there that you think is accurate. If the customer says, yeah, that's about right, about 15%, then, you know, you have something much more specific and much more meaty you can use as their testimonial.
That is excellent, excellent, excellent. So a couple of really good ideas on getting testimonials and then writing them down. Okay, so let's get back to what we actually started out to talk about. So we've got our three major things that we want to improve upon. One is not enough info. Two is not making the information easy to find. And three is not writing conversationally. And so we're all going to go back through our websites and we're going to analyze for that. Let's talk for a minute about headlines.
Okay.
So let's say on a website you've got your brand and your promise statement. That's kind of my language that I use. You know, in the top navigation bar, you're really spelling out what it is you do for people and what the results are. And then below the navigation bar, you're going to put in a headline. So what would you say are some of the criteria for a good headline, maybe some examples of some good headlines?
Well, the best kind of headline is a headline that is what we call in copywriting benefit focus. In other words, the headline either states a benefit directly or it at least implies a benefit. But when a prospect reads it or sees it, they think there's a benefit there for me. To give you an example from your own website, Jane, I hope you don't mind me doing this.
Oh.
Your headline is, are you positioned to get booked more often at higher fees? At least that's your current headline on your website. You may test
okay.
others. That is a benefit-focused headline, because even though it's not saying directly you will get this benefit, simply by asking the question, do you want to get booked more often at higher fees, implies a benefit. It implies that you have the solution, right, that your programs will help. So the benefit headlines are usually the most effective headlines, and they're often very simplest headlines. What some speakers do is they try to be too clever or too Madison Avenue. They try to come up with something very, very clever and catchy.
Mm.
And that approach can work very well if you are a Madison Avenue ad agency and you have a client that's spending $1 million a year on advertising, right? You can afford to kind of throw something wild and crazy out there and kind of see if it sticks, right? But usually those types of headlines fail far more often than they succeed. The headlines that are the proven performers, the ones that always seem to work well, are simple benefit headlines. Like the one you have on your site. Are you positioned to get booked more often at higher fees? That's a very clear benefit there.
Okay.
You can go variations on that. For example, you used a question headline. You're asking a question that implies, you know, that's that's uh, that's asking the prospect, do you want this? Well, I have a solution. The question headline can work very well, but there's ways you can vary that. You could, let me think this through here. You could simply ask a how-to question, how to get booked more often at higher fees. Shorter headline, sometimes starting a headline with how-to can work very well. Or you can, what I call, push the ouch button. In other words, if a speaker is hurting in this area, not getting booked as often, not getting the fees that he or she wants, you can sort of, push that ouch button just ever so gently. You could say something like, tired of struggling to get booked and getting paid only peanuts when you do. here's a solution.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Or getting beat up on fees,
getting beat up on fees, or speaking for free more often than for a fee, things like that. So you're pushing the ouch button a little bit. You're saying, hey, this is a problem that's really agitating you. Well, there's a solution. Or you could do a story headline, can sometimes work well. You can just put quotes around what you say and say, I struggled to take my speaking business to the I was struggling to take my speaking business to the next level of success, but when I started working with Jane, .. It all became better, type of thing.
That's cool.
So there's all kinds of different ways that you can play with headline ideas by focusing on the main benefit that you deliver to your clients, and then just exploring different ways to state that in the headline.
Nice, nice.
Now, headlines are really very, very important. Back when I was writing a lot of sales letters and ads for ad agencies, and that 10 years ago, when I was a freelance copywriter, I would actually test different headlines on letters and on ads, and sometimes the results of just changing the headline and leaving everything else the same, I would get 200 or 300% more response.
Wow.
So headlines are worth taking some time to brainstorm. So brainstorm a lot of different headline ideas and then pick one and maybe pick two or three and change them. It's easy to change headlines on websites and see which ones get you the better results, because headlines are very important.
Very good. And for those of you who are thinking that you may need some help with this, we'll talk to you at the end of the call about what Steve's services include and how you might pull him into the mix to help you get your headlines looking better. I know you don't write copy for people anymore, Steve, but you do help them tweak it, correct?
Yeah, I collaborate with people on
collaborate.
That.
Great, great. So I'm thinking about that, too. I'm thinking, I might need to bring you in on something that's coming up for me almost immediately. So we've got our headline. There's been some talk before that you should speak to people on your website in a certain grade language, like grade 8 language, grade 6 language. What level of, you said conversational. Is there any kind of rule of thumb on what kind of language you should be using?
Well, it really depends on your target market. And actually, one of the best copywriting tips I could possibly give you is to really know your target market well, really know your prospects well. Because the more you know your prospects, the more you'll know how to speak to your prospects, what language, the language vocabulary you need to use, the style you need to use. That being said, believe it or not, writing at a grade 9 level, grade 10 level at most, is pretty much where you want to target, right?
Standard.
Now, that doesn't mean that you're writing to grade 9s and grade 10ers, right? You're writing to, in most cases, adults and business people and serious people and scientists and all kinds of different professionals. But you want to keep the language simple and at that grade 8, grade 9 level, because the more simply you can state something, the more effective it'll be.
Gotcha. Okay, so let's say we're sending out an email blast, a broadcast to everyone on our list, and we want to figure out a great subject line that will get them to open up the email. What are some of the tips that you might offer on putting together a great subject line?
Well, first of all, a subject line is a headline.
Mm-hmm.
So you can use a lot of the same tips I just gave you with a couple of exceptions and other ideas. First of all, Subject lines that get the most open rates are usually between 20 and 40 characters, including spaces.
Okay.
So, you know, you for those who don't know how to count the characters in a headline, you can do that in Microsoft Word by clicking the Tools Word Count function on Microsoft Word, and it'll tell you how many characters are in a line you just wrote. Between 20 and 40 works best. Once you go over 40, sometimes the subject line can work best, but it risks being cut off in people's email programs, and they won't be able to see that end of it. Also, headlines that, like a how-to headline, can work really well as a subject line. I was just, before our call today, I was just reviewing the past few emails that I sent out to my own subscribers and readers, and the number one open that I got from the previous 10 or 15 emails was how to write a prospecting email.
Wow.
That was the number one. Very simple how-to headline, but you can see it has high interest to people who are interested in learning how to write a prospecting email, right? So sometimes a very simple headline like that can work well, especially a how-to headline.
Okay.
What about a question
headline? Does that work? I typically use questions, but I don't know if that's, maybe I should switch it up a little bit more.
Yeah, a question headline can work very well too, as long as it implies a benefit. You know.
Okay.
Do you know how to write a prospecting email? You know, it could be a question, but that implies that in the email I'm going to describe how to do it, right?
So that
subject line would imply a benefit. It would have a benefit in it. But how to write a prospecting email? Do you know how to write a prospecting email? Is writing a prospecting email tough for you? You know, that kind of thing. Question headlines can work very well. Also, what I find really works well is think of your target market. And think what might be top of mind for them right now, what might be actually in their heads right now. I'll give you an example. Let's say your target market were, roofing contractors in the Toronto area. And and you do a consulting program for roofing contractors. And there's a major roofing show coming up in 2 months. Well, you know that most roofing contractors they'll know about that show. They'll be seeing news about that show. They might be participating in that show. You know, that show will be top of mind for them. So if you write an email where that mentions that show in the subject line, then the chances are it's going to get open because it's top of mind for your prospects.
Right, good.
So that's a tip that can work quite well too.
Okay. So short and sweet, definitely want to have some value in there. I think the one that I sent out about this, I'm not sure about this, but it was just simply, is your copywriting working? Something like that, and that's where...
Yeah, that's a benefit headline.
Yeah, okay.
So it implies that when someone opens the headline, they're going to learn how to get their copywriting working. Now, if they opened your email and it describes something else, they're going to be very disappointed in you.
You're in trouble. But, okay.
Yeah, you're in trouble. I have a couple other tips, too, if we have time, for subject lines, because it's so important.
Absolutely.
If you have a subject line with the words last day in it, like last day to register, last day for this, last day for that, that can work very, very well. It usually gets very high open rates. But you've got to use it authentically. If it's not the last day, and you send out an email that warns this is the last day to sign up for something, then people are going to get upset with you, and they won't believe you next time.
Right.
You know? Writing great copy is also about building trust over the long term, so you've got to be always honest and authentic. But if you have, you know, if it's the last day for something, last day for a discount on an information product, last day for, sign up for a teleclass, whatever it is, using last day can work very well in a subject line. And also sometimes just a simple announcement, especially if you're sending it to people who know you, they're on your subscriber list. Like, new guide to writing subject lines now available, or something like that. A simple announcement of a new product, a new program, a new workshop can work very, very well, too.
Good. Anything else on subject lines? Do we cover it?
We cover most of the tips.
Okay.
If it's possible, Try testing subject lines. I know that's not always easy and possible for people, but a lot of the email services like AWeber, for example, has a very simple push-button function where you can test two different subject lines to the same list and see which one works for your list.
Wow.
And the feedback you get from which subject lines are working can help you make your email marketing much more effective to that list.
Yeah, I think probably I'm like most people where I know the concept of testing is a really valuable one, but I rarely use it. And so I think we just all need to step up and try it more. I wonder if one shopping cart has the option to do a double test.
I'm not sure if one shopping cart does. I think Constant Contact does. I know AWeber does. I mean, if it's too cumbersome and complicated for you, then it's not worth doing it. But if if you use AWeber or some other program where in a push of a button you can put in a second headline and it'll automatically split the list for you and send out then the intelligence that you get back is very useful. You may find that question headlines, Jane, get 20% more open rates for you than other types of headlines. Or you may find the opposite. Wouldn't that be good information to have?
What about something that's kind of more cute or clever? Like, should we keep it straight up? I remember way back when the movie He's Just Not That Into You first came out, I had a headline, Our Bureau's Just Not That Into You. Do you think that things that are kind of timely or cute, will they miss the mark if people don't get it, or are they a little bit risky?
If it's timely, it has a good chance of working well. Like I said, if your target market has a trade show coming up and you know everybody's thinking about it, it's timely, then that can work very well. Or if it's tied into something that on the news that everybody's heard about, something that happened yesterday in the news, that can work very well too. Clever, something cute and clever, can work, and sometimes it can't. You're taking a chance. I did an email not too long ago. And the subject line was, does your special report have Boeing?
Boeing?
Now, Boeing is a hashtag that Jim Carrey uses on Twitter.
Oh, fine.
It's become a very popular hashtag. So at the beginning of the article, I explained that, right? And then I segued into what your free report or your special report needs to do in order to work well as a marketing piece.
And so how was your open rate on that?
The open rate on that was really good. But I knew I was taking a chance because it could have been really bad. Because that's the thing when you try to get cute and clever with a headline is that sometimes you can get really great results, but sometimes you can't. Sometimes you get really bad results. And it's very difficult to predict.
Unsubscribe. Well, I love doing things like that are timely, and I also like learning new things, so that's cool. I call it, are you dangling a strong carrot? And so when I talked about that same topic, I said, how strong is your carrot? And I bet it didn't get nearly the open rate that yours did because I wasn't specific enough about it, now I realize. So I think being more specific about what it is better than just leading something that might, how strong is your carrot? I mean, what does that mean even, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you took a chance.
Yeah.
See if,
I don't
if,
know.
If,
I don't if, know if it worked or not. I haven't gone back to look, but I just want everybody to know that we're going to have an opportunity here in about 15 minutes to open it up, and you can you can ask questions of Steve and perhaps even workshop some ideas. So I'm excited that I'm hoping that you're getting lots of good ideas and writing lots of good tips down. Okay, so tricks of the trade for copywriters. Are there any that we haven't kind of talked about yet that need to come out?
There's one I touched on, but I'd like to elaborate on very quickly.
Okay.
That is the better you know your prospects, the better your copy will be automatically, without you having to learn any copywriting techniques or anything else. In copywriting workshops that I do, I'll use this analogy. I'll have a slide up of a silhouette of a person who looks like they're a golfer. You can see a golf club on their shoulder, but it's just a silhouette and a very foggy picture. And I say, tell me how you would write copy to help to sell a minivan to this person. And people in the audience will say, well, you can fit your golf clubs in the back of the minivan. You can take your buddies with you to the golf course. They're all assuming that this is a grown-up. And then the next slide is a clear, it's no longer a silhouette. The picture is totally clear, and it's actually a little kid with a toy golf club, right? He's like 9 or 10 years old. And then I said, okay, now that you know your prospect better than you did before, how would you write your copy? And then everybody had different answers. They said, well, it has a DVD player in the car, and, you know, your mom can take you all these, you can take all your friends to soccer games, and there's lots of room in the back, and it's comfortable, and you know what I mean? It's, so the more you know your prospect, you automatically write copy that's much more effective.
Yeah.
To give you another more practical example, I was at a Speakers Association meeting just a couple days ago, and there was someone there who he has something to do with the Chamber of Commerce in Toronto. And he said, you know what, we really have trouble finding good breakfast speakers for our breakfast meeting in the Chamber of Commerce Toronto. Now, if you're targeting the Chamber of Commerce as a speaker, and you knew that prospect, you knew that information about your prospect, in other words, you knew him better than you did before, you know that they have trouble getting breakfast speakers, isn't that going to affect the way you write copy to them? If you were going to send an email or write something on your website, of course it would, because you have that, you know the prospect much better. You're going to focus on, hey, do you have problems finding a good breakfast speaker? Well, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the more you know your prospect, the better your copy will be automatically. I can't really emphasize that enough. So that's
giving, they can hand you the headline if you're listening.
Yeah, in a way they can. You're just able to figure out what their needs are and how your consulting services, your speaking services address their needs more specifically.
Yeah. So one thing that just occurred to me is that people may be having a hard time writing their copy because they are trying to serve more than one prospect. I bet you've come across this in your business before. So I have people who come to me trying to figure out what their lane is, and ultimately the best scenario is that they, A, pick one lane, and then they move out and they start to speak to kind of the leaders of that particular industry. Let's say they want to do team building in the corporate world. And so on their website, they're going to speak to the corporate leaders to talk about the power of team building, et cetera, et cetera. But without knowing that, without taking those first kind of ready steps, they really have a difficult time copywriting. Have you come across that before?
It's almost impossible to write copy effectively if you don't have a specific target audience that you're focusing in on. Or a specific lane, as you call it. Your copy comes across as very diluted and general and not very specific. And, you know, we've all read copy like that. You're trying to write to everybody. And not only is that copy ineffective, it's really painful to write. It's slow and it's really difficult to write because you don't know who you're focusing in on. You know, one of my target audiences is copywriters. I teach and coach other copywriters. So I know, you know, that's a very specific audience. So I can write copy very quickly and fluidly to that audience because I'm not confused about who I'm talking to. But if I was trying to write copy for all types of writers, fiction writers, poets, and things like that, rather than just copywriters, it'd be very difficult for me to kind of bring them all together and know what their common needs are, and I wouldn't know what to say, you know. It'd be very difficult to write, and whatever I did write wouldn't be very effective.
So you've chosen the lane on your website at steveslawmite.com. You've chosen to write for small business owners, and the copywriters will just find you, right? They're going to
I have a second site for copywriters called copywritersonly.com.
Fair enough.
And that is a website that's devoted just to them.
You've notched it out, so that's
no,
perfect.
And
you're not confusing your market.
If you have multiple audiences,
yeah.
If that's the way your business has evolved, I would never suggest someone start their business with multiple audiences. By the way, start with one lane. But if you happen to have two or three lanes as your business grows, have separate pages or better still, maybe a separate site to speak directly to that audience.
Gotcha. And I've been talking a lot in my business about straddling two lanes lately, so I can't agree more with that. having everything separate. It's really a separate umbrella. It's a separate empire that you're growing. And so it's in order to do that, I think you need to be a really strong project leader and kind of move projects forward rather than being kind of engulfed in them all. You have to be a really good leader. Okay, so let's say one last question and then we'll open it up for Q&A. How can we use copy to better strengthen our brand?
Well, I was giving it some thought because you had sent me that question earlier. And if you, one mistake I see for speakers, and please let me know if I'm not answering the question the way you wanted to, is on bio pages. They talk just about them themselves. This, you know, I'm an expert in time management. I do 70 leadership workshops a year. I'm a certified time management coach with such and such, you know, and they go into their credentials and blah, blah, blah. And that really isn't effective on a bio page. Your bio page is very important as it communicates your brand. And in studies of professional services marketing, where they studied where people looking for a professional service will go to on a website, the bio page is the number three web page that a potential buyer will go to when you know looking at a professional services website.
Okay.
So in other words, if someone's looking for a speaker or looking for a trainer, they'll go to the website, they'll look at the home page, they'll look at the services page next, but the third page they'll look at is the bio page. So your bio page is like a sales page. It's really, really important. So what I always suggest to speakers and others is that, let's say one of your credentials is I conduct more than 70 time management workshops a year. Okay. Rather than say just that and stopping there, say something like this. I conduct more than 70 workshops each year, which means you don't have to worry about me being able to address the tough issues that your managers face in the area of time management and project management. I've heard it all. I have the solutions. You know, something like that. In other words, turn it around and describe what your credentials really mean to your prospects and how it benefits them.
That's a really good one. I hope everybody got that down. How do your credentials benefit the prospect? So, let's say you were doing, your brand was something around living the dream. You know, would you not go into your bio and talk about how you in your own life are living the dream so that you're showing congruence, that you walk your talk, and then therefore you turn it around and make it about how you teach other people how to do the same thing?
That's right. Telling your personal story builds a lot of credibility and builds a relationship with your prospects. That's very, very important, and not enough speakers do that, frankly. But you always have, at some point, you always got to turn it around. What does all this mean to you, the event planner, or to you, the prospect? What does it mean to you?
Cool.
It means I am able to do X, Y, and Z for you. You know, that's
yeah.
What it means.
That's really good, and that's missing from my own bio. I'm going to go ahead and change that straight away. It's getting really black out here where I am, Stephen. You know what? It's snowing. So for those of you on the line who are dialing in from the south and Texas and all those places, I just want you to know it's snowing. Thank you very much. Sorry,
that's
I digress.
Strange, 'cause I'm not really that far from you. And,
I know.
And it's blue skies now.
We can have a totally different situation. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and put it in Q&A mode, and she's going to tell us what you can do with that. 1 second. And we are in Q&A mode right now, which means if you would like to hit *6 on your keypad, you can go ahead and unmute, and that's going to allow you to ask a question. Okay, so I hear some lines opening up there. So let me just ask, would anybody like to ask Steve a question?
I would.
Go ahead. Oh, I have a woman and a man, so let me go ahead with the man first because I heard him first, and then I'll come back to you. 1 second.
Okay, thanks, Jane. Steve, I'm a former ad agency owner, so this is very, very interesting and brings it all home. But now I'm an executive coach, and I'm working with primarily... my niche is executive coaching. I'm working with a target market, most ad agency owners. My ad agency ultimately did not succeed the way I would like it to, and I had to close it. And I had another business that didn't succeed. And actually, those experiences now I look as a gift. It really gave me a lot of great learning that I now impart to a lot of my clients. And it's interesting, they want to hear about those experiences. They want
let's
really
hear your
learn
question,
this.
Please. What's your question?
So that's the question is, so when I share, you know, what do you think about sharing that? How do you share that?
Well, you know, you already answered your own question. What your message there is working. You know, it's resonating with your target audience. They're saying, okay, here's a guy who has been to the school of nuts and bolts. He gets it. He understands our business. He understands what can go right. He understands what can go wrong. And he knows how to coach us to success as a result of his background. Because I can tell you just what every ad agency owner has been through, good times and bad times. And you've been through them too. So you've been there, did that, and that's really your value, and you're communicating that well, obviously, to your target market.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Very good. Who do we have who is waiting in the queue there?
Hi, Steve. I had a question for you about your writing copy for a couple different audiences. And a lot of service professionals, including myself, you know, our clients would fall both in two different categories of small business owners versus mid-sized companies. So if you're looking at the distinct differences of those target markets, would you say that's a clear no-brainer to make them two separate websites or on a lot
of
websites?
Separate pages.
Kind of a here.
Yeah, separate pages.
For small business, okay.
Yeah, like, you know, and be very careful when you're looking at types of businesses based on size. I mean, there's a big difference between being a solopreneur, which is what I am and perhaps what you are, and being a small business owner that has a few employees. There's a huge difference between those two groups and the way they think and what they're looking for and things of that nature. And there's a big difference, of course, between small business owners and owners of larger mid-sized businesses as well, you know. But don't try to speak to all those audiences on the same page. You just can't do it.
Well, my plan was to redo my copy and have a different homepage. You know, just the default homepage would simply be, you know, click here if you are a small business owner, and click here if you're what, you know, however I word it, mid-sized company. And so when they do, it'll take them to the homepage, speaking directly to them. So if thinking about that strategy, does that sound to you as any red flags?
Yeah, but it's better if you say, like you obviously have a expertise that appeals to both audiences, right?
Correct.
So you have a program for small business owners, and you have a program for corporate managers, right? So word it that way. Say, you know, I'm an expert in blah, 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 and I work specifically with these types of people. My click here for my program on helping small business owners accomplish X, Y, and Z, and click here for my program on helping corporate managers accomplish X, Y, Z. You know what I mean?
Oh, very helpful. Thank you.
Good, good. Who else had a question? Was it you, Barbara?
No.
Okay. Anybody else? Let's see. If you want to open up your line, just hit *6, and that will unmute you.
Yeah, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hey, this is Adam. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Adam.
Hi. Steve, I'm curious if you have an opinion on long or short. Looking over your site, your copy is really short. You barely have to scroll to read everything on each page. I've seen some site where you're scrolling and scrolling and scrolling, but sometimes the copy is written really well and it holds your interest all the way through. Do you have an opinion about that?
Yeah, and I have both those pages, too. I have some pages that sell my home study courses, for example, where I'm asking someone to pay $500 for a home study course, where the copy is much longer. It's not so much long and short copy works, doesn't work. It's that first rule of copy. What is it that you want the prospect to do? And then give them all the information they need to do it. I have a home study course in copywriting for copywriters. And like I said, it's a $500 course. So in order to convince a writer to invest $500 in a home study course, they need a lot of information. They want to know not just what one person has to say about my course, but what 10 people have to say. I had lots of testimonials. They want to know what the components of the course, what specifically do they learn from the course? How does the course work? Is there any support with the course? And, you know, it's all kinds of information before they're able and willing to make that kind of decision. So the copy is quite long for that reason. So what is it you want the prospect to do? You know,
nice.
And give them the information they need to do it.
Thanks. That's really helpful.
That is really helpful. And thanks, Adam, for bringing that up, because we do see so many different types of copywriting going on out there. There are sales pages that are kind of internet marketing based, and then there are home pages for speakers. So that's a little bit different. And so thank you for clearing that up. That's really good. If you have a high ticket item, Steve, I'm going to assume you're going to need to put some copy on the page.
That's right. It's going to be a long copy piece. Simply, and not because long copy works. It's because you have to communicate a lot of information that the prospect needs to make that kind of decision.
Right. Good stuff. All right. We have time for maybe one, maybe two more questions. Who else would like to ask Steve a question?
This is Candace Asher. I have a question, Steve.
Go ahead, Candace.
Have any of your prospects for high-ticket items ever asked you to speak to a former client satisfied or not to, you know, before they pulled the trigger?
Okay, I'm not sure I understand your question.
So
if you're selling a high-ticket item, you're selling a home study course, and you have all of this copy advertising it, and then there are potential prospects who want to buy, but before they do, has anybody ever asked you to speak to one of your former clients?
That happens a couple of times, and justifiably so, and at least in my case, I don't have any problem with it.
So how do you handle that?
I should say, feel free to contact them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Good, good. Yeah, most of your testimonial givers would be happy, and so you might write an email and say, hey, is it okay if someone connects with you directly? And
that's right, and that's something else. If someone asks me, can they contact testimonials on my website, I'll do that. I'll send an email to them.
Sure, just give them the heads up.
Yeah.
All right, one more question I think we have time for. Steve has another conference call coming up right on our heels, so we want to be respectful of his time. Who else has a question for Steve? Go ahead. All right. Let me go straight to where Steve, and if we have one more question, go ahead and somebody can pipe in. Where Steve, what should people do if they'd like to know more about how to work with you?
Well, the best way is to visit my main website, which is steveslonwhite.com. I know Steve Slonway is difficult to spell, so if you type in asksteve.com, it'll take you to exactly the same place.
Great.
And I publish a weekly marketing memo, and when you sign up for my weekly marketing memo, which is a short e-zine that you get every week on marketing tips, you also get a mini course in copywriting as a bonus. So if you go to my website, you'll see that sign up form on the upper right hand side. And I invite you to sign up.
Good, good. So, and just give us a little bit of a rundown on what types of services you might offer. If I'm needing help with copywriting and I want somebody to kind of have some eyeballs on my website, is that something you'll do? Will you help us with that collaboration piece that you were mentioning?
Yeah, well, what I do when I work with clients as a coach or a consultant or a combination of the two is collaborate with them on copy, because frankly, copy is my secret weapon. I mean, I'm really good at getting results for businesses by improving their copy. So I will work with coaching clients and consulting clients, and I help them create copy, improve their copy, so they get better results. Better results meaning more people are signing up for their e-zine, they're turning more leads into new clients. More people are downloading their one sheets and finding out more about them, things of that nature.
Great, great. Now, because we just have a few minutes left, why don't we talk really briefly about writing in all of the new mediums? Like, what should people be doing how should they be kind of watching their P's and Q's or their copy on, say, social media? Do you have any tips on that before we go?
Well, the one tip I could tell you about social media is to leverage what you already have. Like I mentioned that I publish my weekly marketing memo, which is a short tip every week. But I also share parts of that, parts of those tips on Twitter and Facebook and LinkedIn, with a link back to my website. And I find I get very good results that way. So leverage what you already have. It's
nice,
probably my best advice for social media.
That's a good tip. Okay, so we're all going back to our website. We're going to check and make sure that we're giving enough information based on what it is that we're asking of people, especially on bigger ticket items. We're going to make it easy for them to find the info. When you talk about easy to find the info, are you mostly talking about contact information, email address, phone number?
Yes, plus making your copy scannable.
Right, scannable for those of us who like to bullet, 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 highlight, etc.
We don't want to read a
bunch of chunky paragraphs. Okay, and we're going to write more conversationally. We are going to write kind of grade 9 or 10 language based on what our audience is. We're going to know our audience best and pick a focused audience so that we can write more easily. We're going to keep our subject lines to 20 to 40 characters, and we're going to make them really kind of provocative, top of mind, but also sometimes just asking like a how-to question or offering up a how-to idea, and then if we follow through and actually provide the information, we'll be doing a good job on that. And anything that you feel like you might have missed?
Just a reminder, when you're using testimonials, integrate a couple of testimonials within your body copy.
Great.
Can work quite well.
Great. And I love how you talked about getting better testimonials. Would it be safe to say? That's a great line when trying to kind of pull the teeth of your market. Well, I want to say thank you. I'm going to go ahead and open it up so that everybody else can say thank you, too, to you, Steve, for giving us such amazing information in this past hour.
Thanks for listening to The Wealthy Speaker Show. Please visit speakerlauncher.com for your free Wealthy Speaker audit, and visit speakerlauncher.com/podcast for show notes and many more resources to help you catapult your speaking business. See you soon, Wealthy Speakers.